You know, it's really an amazing poem. Whitman uses the metaphor of I not to refer to himself, but to explode the very definition of self in favor of a more all-encompassing...
I really, really don't care.
What is the self? Perhaps it means to be that which experiences, to be that which feels and resides within the changing world, to be an organism who lives, to move away from the labels and definitions which keep us restricted and constricted, and to move to a place in which these boundaries cease to exist, to rid ourselves of notions which reduce us and keep us inside boxes. Boxes like the ones that contain Charlie and his students during an online lecture. The self is the path, but many of the characters in the film, The Whale, including Charlie, reside within the ego. They are bound and constrained, often trying to be a particular thing that is concrete and known, having little chance to be different from what they are perceived to be. But when one is trapped and identified with their ego, contradictions tend to arise, as opposites are always bound together. The ego believes it is one particular thing and nothing else, meaning that the ego cannot tolerate opposites, and often tries to ignore possibilities of who or what else they might be. The ego differs from the self, in that the self holds and welcomes the opposites, while the ego is torn apart by them. The self is all, something not residing in the box, more free and true, and in the process of becoming. Charlie is caught in the box of his ego, and for him, it is one that is dark and void. Unwilling to show his face and body, as he is afraid of the labels and definitions that his students might give him. He is hiding in an upstairs apartment in the corner of the world, wanting to disappear and vanish from existence. He wants his students to metaphorically think outside that box. But this task might be difficult, as Charlie is himself tied to a conditioned existence, one in which he is acting how a teacher should act. He is saying the things that a teacher should say, like why it is important to learn the fundamentals of writing, stating that these lessons will help the students become more persuasive writers in the future. But Charlie barely believes his own words, and the students are left incredibly bored by the lecture. It's as if he is reading a script that has nothing to do with life and authentic writing. He urges the students towards their true voice, while he himself has never found his own. He has not because the venture is too risky. The lecture rings false since Charlie himself is not living his life truthfully or authentically. Instead, hiding in the shadows of the world and not being honest with himself and others. Charlie nearly dies of a heart attack, and Thomas arrives as the savior, a young man looking to help others, desiring to save people through the message of Jesus Christ. He is committed to providing people with the ideas and words that have been helpful and redeeming for himself. He knows that the return of Christ will be beautiful, and that everyone should have the opportunity to experience the second coming. He apparently comes from the New Life Church, a place that has caused Charlie, Liz, and others much pain and suffering. Despite the church's best intentions, they have not been helpful to all who cross their path. The members, particularly Liz's father, have been too caught in their mission and vision as saviors and helpers, unable to see themselves as capable of any sin. This is their blind spot and reveals their opposite. Despite best conscious intentions, the truth is that they are destroying the lives of people who aren't willing to accept their handouts. Liz is Charlie's personal caretaker, the only person in the world who is looking after his health and well-being. By all accounts, we should see her as a noble and benevolent person due to her occupation of at-home nurse for the obese man. She is acting from the good of her own heart, taking care of someone who has been forgotten about. Liz, though, also contains an unseen opposite, an alternate side to her ego personality. Throughout various scenes, she is revealed as an extremely lonely person, desperate for love and attention. After lashing out at Charlie for his poor health, she sits with him to watch TV and gives him a bucket of fried chicken. She continually enables his eating behaviors, allowing him to continue his path towards self-destruction, partially because she needs company from her own loneliness. She ignores parts of his condition so as to provide more comfort to herself. Since Liz sees herself as a helpful nurse, she is unable to see the dark side of her personality and its unconscious motivations. She believes herself to be one thing, but that thing is only a partial truth. Charlie's daughter, Ellie, is introduced as a one-dimensional, egotistic character, seeming hard and tough, defensive to the world around her. Her first words are,
"Does this mean I'm gonna get fat?"
Showing how she is more concerned with her own self than her dying father. She insults him relentlessly, not allowing him to live down his past mistakes, and soon demands that her father walk over to her. Another hint at her cruel nature. But is it possible that she secretly wants what is best for Charlie? That she wants him to be physically active, to escape the life of the disabled and incapacitated? Could this be an honest form of tough love in which we demand more of another because we know they are capable of more? If so, it is very different from the approach of Liz, who seems content to keep Charlie the same, not asking that he make any changes to improve his dying body. Liz opposes Charlie's wish to spend time with his daughter, allowing her ego wishes to show through the facade. She wants things to continue as they are, not to disrupt her comfort, hoping for Charlie to remain dependent on herself and her services. She is not open to the self and what could be, the potentiality for each of them and their relationship to change. She tells Charlie not to bring his daughter over again while holding a meatball sub in front of his face, withholding it from him until he commits to the idea. It's the type of conditional love she may have been used to, in which one must make their parent happy so as to receive love and attention. Conditioned love, which forces a person to operate from a standpoint of dependence and desperation for the acceptance of the other. A mode of being which keeps one locked into their ego personality so as to feel safe and secure. Charlie's frustration with his students continues, harping on how they failed to find truth in their argument, how they continued to neglect their own ideas and seem more interested in just receiving a passing grade. He talks about how important this class should be for them. His exasperation is coming at a time in which he is realizing how he has failed to locate his own truth or authenticity, understanding his tendency to go through the motions of his own life. He is becoming desperate to help others find their path, as his own potentiality for truth may soon come to an end. He wants the students to find meaning and purpose, something that is not conditioned by their ego and comfort of their virtual boxes. Thomas once again speaks with Charlie about Jesus' message, stating that end times are coming, that all will end before a new world arises. He has found a philosophy that works for him, and he says to Charlie,
"I just want to help. Please, just let me help."
But he continues to push his own version of truth that holds no objective validity. It's a path towards God, a simple and narrow version which is not universally applicable, an option that may work for some while also harming those who can't find truth in this story. Liz and her brother were a few victims that could not find truth in the Christian story, and Liz tells Thomas about how her brother was not loved unconditionally, that he would only be accepted and welcomed by their father if he believed in the truth of the church. He was not given the option of following the self, of taking open paths or roads uncharted. He was asked to follow a very specific and pre-planned route, which led to suicide following a depression. Liz's father and the church felt they were doing the right thing by pushing him towards their message of salvation, but the concern was more in line with their own narrative and selfishness, and it was that which ruined a man's life. Ellie speaks with Thomas alone in the apartment, and she is aggressive, interrogative, and rude. It seems that she might be up to selfish motives, trying to set up Thomas for a deceitful payoff. But as the movie proceeds, we find out that she eventually reconnects Thomas with his family, making him say,
I can't tell if she was trying to help me or hurt me, or do you ever get that feeling from her?
This question may reflect a central theme of the film, in which many characters' motivations are disguised as pure, when in reality they are selfish and egotistical, while at the same time, what can be seen as harmful or hurtful externally, like in the case of Ellie, may in fact be the thing which is most helpful. In the same scene, Thomas talks about his history and mentions his ministry friend Jerry, who looked to help others by passing out pamphlets on a mission. Thomas doubted the relevance and effectiveness of this path, despite his friend's confidence that
you could just tell that he didn't need to earn or prove his faith at all.
It makes us consider what it means to really help someone, and how people often feel they need to be doing great things in order to be of assistance. Could we be seeing that the harder we try to help, the more our ego and our selfishness become involved? That perhaps this compulsion to help is more about our own inadequacies and insecurities? What if Thomas's friend, Jerry, didn't need to do more because he was okay with himself and his relationship with God? Whereas Thomas needed more than that. Thomas needed to prove something, to assert his ego, rather than be content with the path of the self that needs no external validations. As many of the film's characters are conflicted between the openness of the self and the closed-off nature of the ego, the pizza man determines his position in the war with few words. Despite his appearance as being open and willing to be friends with Charlie, he is frozen without a word after many attempts to connect through the closed door. In the moment of truth, he is seen as closed off and distant, becoming repulsed by what Charlie actually is. He had been stuck in the illusion of who he thought Charlie was, but the reality causes him to flee and never return. The delivery person remains caught in the trap of his imaginary picture of the world, unwilling to meet what is staring him in the face. During the climax of the film, Charlie hammers Thomas about his true thoughts and feelings. Charlie is coming to more fully know the deceptiveness of the ego, the ways that our outward performance often hides who we really are. Thomas has repeatedly said that he wanted to help Charlie, that he cares for him and wants what's best for him. But as Charlie reveals more about who he is, Thomas is repulsed to hear about Charlie's life as a gay man, appearing as if it is torture to hear the story. He doesn't actually want others to find love and live a fulfilled life, especially if it doesn't conform to his own narrow views of the world. Thomas wants Charlie to escape the flesh and live the spiritual life, where he receives a body of light and no longer lives with sins of the flesh. Thomas is viewing the scripture literally, being so bound to the ego definitions that trap us like prisons. He is lacking the metaphorical viewpoint which could help him escape this trap. The symbol which allows us to know the true spirit, where escape of the flesh means escape of the ego, a way towards the light of the self. The ego is our conditioned existence of previous life experiences, of the person we ought to be, of the person our parents and society taught us to be. Whereas the self is free-flowing and void of rigid definitions. It no longer has borders and limitations of what it will or can be. The self is the body of light, the subtle body, which is not weighted down by the definitions and expectations of the literal world. Thomas needs to see the world in terms of his literal ego, in terms of his own silly flesh, and it causes him to finally label Charlie as disgusting. He can't get past his limited view of the world, and so in turn denounces the man he was so keen to save. These rising events cause Charlie to experience a metanoia, a change of heart and mind. He ceases trying to be a particular type of teacher, to be the one who goes by the book and reserves his true feelings. He asks, or better yet demands, that the students speak their truth and forget all other directives. The following day, as he teaches his final class, he is amazed by the truth which has been revealed. The students talk about the disparity between who they are supposed to be, who reality wants them to be, and what the truth of their lives actually is. It reflects the difference between one with definitions and one with a lack of borders, But the students aren't the only ones making these realizations, and Charlie finally allows his class to see who he really is when he turns on his camera. He moves closer to the truth, rejecting any concern about what he is supposed to be, while the class is also headed in this upward direction. They are all gaining a larger perspective, a broadening of horizons, and a turning away from the narrow perspectives that are held too tightly by the ego. They go towards gray areas of uncertainty and ambiguity, simultaneously the place of most promise and hope, as anything can develop out of this undefined void. Charlie's notions of himself and others are beginning to blur, his ideas of ego receding and making way for the self. He laughs in joy as he considers the ways his daughter is working towards good, as Ellie's outward show and appearance seem to mean very little. His own beliefs of who he is are also beginning to fade into the background, as he is coming to more fully understand what Walt Whitman wrote about in Leaves of Grass. He's going through moments of explosion, in which nothing is what it was just a moment ago. All things are changing and transitory. His self and the selves of others, or might we say their egos, are no longer well-defined and understood. In the final scene, Charlie is overflowing with feeling. He is overwhelmed by the beauty of his daughter and the moment. He can no longer contain it all within himself. It is something ineffable, something overpowering, a force coming on which is much stronger than his fragile and small ego. Ellie does not want to experience the power and becomes upset as she makes the way for the door. But as she reaches the exit, she is stopped by the light which fills the room after a week of darkness. It is Good Friday, a place for the dying and rising God to make itself known. The characters are filled with this renewing radiance, and so the light fills a dual role that cannot be understood in rational terms. It's as if Charlie himself is exuding this light as he is being guided by an inner truth that has been seeking his participation throughout the film. The beacon has finally been reached, and it lifts him up, off the couch, and towards his daughter. He is being powered by an energy that is not all his own. He comes to reach his daughter as she realizes the value of her own truth and vision, and Charlie is lifted into the sky and towards the spirit which has been promised by Thomas throughout the film. But this spirit is different from the literal version that Thomas preached. It is the kind that is more in line with the exploding sense of self that Charlie is now experiencing, a place in which the ego dies, where one fuses with the cosmos. He has exploded his ego ideas and been pushed by a force to become that which has never been thought possible. He is being lifted up and into an unknown future in which the self has no boundaries and all possibilities lie in wait.